after an in-depth interview with each day of the week, we have definitively concluded that Fridays are awesome. My name is Carl Azus, happy to bring you this Friday's edition of CNN 10. First today, there's a standoff taking place in India between the nation's government and the nation's farmers. This country is often called the world's largest democracy. It has the world's second largest population with 1.3 billion people, and more than half of those people make their living in agriculture. India is very heavily reliant on farming. So what's this disagreement over? The Indian government passed three new laws last fall that many farmers don't like. They concern the prices of certain crops. For decades, the Indian government required farmers to sell the foods they grew at state auctions, and the government guaranteed a minimum price that farmers would get for those foods. Last year, the government decided to allow farmers to sell their crops anywhere, like grocery stores or to buyers in other states. They no longer need to go through state auctions, but they also won't be guaranteed the minimum price anymore. India's government says this will increase market competition and potentially the farmers' income. But if there's a lot of supply, the growers might not get as much money for their crops. And some farmers are concerned that if large companies get involved in the new buying and selling structure, they could also drive crop prices down below what used to be the minimum. Large protests welled up soon after the laws were passed, and they've gotten bigger since. Witnesses say they've been mostly peaceful, but some marches did turn violent in New Delhi, and police used water cannons and tear gas to keep demonstrators from entering the capital. Negotiations have been going on for months between the Indian government and the leaders of more than 30 farmers' unions, but so far they haven't found a compromise, and some protesting farmers say they're not going anywhere until the new laws are eliminated.
Multi-layer barricades, concrete walls, barbed wire, nails embedded on roads, and hundreds of security personnel. Thoroughfares leading to India's capital, New Delhi, have been fortified by police preventing farmers and their supporters from entering the city. Thousands of them have encamped on this highway in Ghazipur for over 2 months. It's just one of the three Delhi borders where farmers have been protesting against three agricultural reforms introduced by the government, which they fear will threaten their livelihood. There's never a dull moment here. While some are busy playing cards, some others were spotted praying in quiet corners of the camp. Youngsters intermittently break the routine with song and dance atop tractors. Dozens of people, young and old, are busy cooking in community kitchens and serving meals. 36-year-old farmer Kuldeep Singh is one of them. While he feeds hundreds of supporters a day, his father back in the village tends to their farm. Kuldeep has been at the protest site for almost 60 days.
Election time tak baithenge, jab tak bhi baithna hai tab tak baithenge, continue.
For over 2 months, tarpaulin tents have lined the highway where farmers spend cold winter nights. Water tankers are brought in by tractors for bathing, cooking and cleaning. Medical booths have been set up to tend to the sick. Volunteer Himanshi Rana lives close to the protest site. A private tutor by profession, she spends the days at the camp. Himanshi says she attends to almost 2,000 patients a day. The government of India says that the current new agricultural reforms will give expandable market access to farmers and pave the way for economically and ecologically sustainable farming. Farmers disagree, arguing they need minimum price guarantees. Vedika Sood, CNN, New Delhi.
10-second trivia. Outside Alaska, the coldest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. was where? Mount Washington, New Hampshire, Rogers Pass, Montana, Greenfield, Wisconsin, or Cavalier Air Force Station, North Dakota. In 1954, a temperature of minus 70 degrees Fahrenheit was recorded in Rogers Pass. And this weekend, places like Rogers Pass probably won't see temperatures get above 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Unless you like ice storms, Arctic cold, and or rain, it's not looking like a pretty Valentine's Day weekend for much of the United States. Meteorologists say that pesky polar vortex is to blame. The low-pressure system usually keeps Arctic air bottled up at the North Pole, but when it gets unstable in winter, as it is now, the polar vortex allows that air to spill south, and then, well, cold. Nearly 75 million Americans are under winter weather alerts. They're spread from coast to coast. There's a rare blizzard warning in Portland, Oregon. And there's a belt of weather advisories stretching from central Texas to southern Connecticut. In the middle of that belt, from Arkansas to Kentucky, forecasters are predicting dangerous ice accumulation that can knock out power and damage trees. Temperatures in several areas are expected to break records. Wind chills will make them feel even more harsh. Here's CNN 10 contributor Tyler Malden.
There are two ways to measure temperature during the winter months, Carl. Number one is the actual reading on your thermometer. Number two is how cold your body perceives it to be, which we call the wind chill. You've probably also heard it called the feels-like temperature. It means exactly what you may think. The wind makes it feel colder than it really is. You know, when it's frigid and the air has a bite to it because the wind is howling and it just hurts to be outside. There's a long equation, as you can see here, that tells us exactly what that feels-like temperature can be given a certain temperature and wind speed. Make sure you memorize this equation because there will be a quiz later. Just kidding. Thankfully, researchers at the National Weather Service have crunched the numbers and compiled it into a chart for all of us to see. Their research tells us whenever the thermometer drops below 50 degrees Fahrenheit and the wind blows by at least 3 miles per hour, wind chill begins. It also tells us the colder and windier it turns, the bigger the wind chill will be. This matters because hypothermia can occur quickly when the wind chill is low. And when it's extremely low, like minus 50, frostbite can set in within minutes. Here's how this occurs. Your body creates its own warm bubble of air just above the skin thanks to conduction. It's what helps naturally keep you at a healthy temperature. When your bare skin gets exposed to the cold air and wind, the wind will whisk away that insulating layer, making you feel much colder and unable to warm. This can all be avoided by not venturing outside during the coldest hours when wind chill alerts have been issued. And if you do have to go outside in the extreme cold, cover every part of your body from your nose to your toes. And remember, mittens are better than gloves. The opposite of a wind chill can occur too, Carl. It's called the heat index, which you hear us talk about during the summer season, and is when your body has trouble cooling down.
We're not coming in from the cold just yet. There are some upsides to living in a winter wonderland. Over a period of 6 years, a father in the European nation of Latvia built a bobsled track, and now we finally know how people get into this sport. The track is more than 550 feet long. The man says he used old furniture to build it and only spent maybe $60 for the screws that hold it all together. His motivation, his love of building, the love of his kids, and the desire to keep them from sitting in front of screens during the winter. Hey Billy, I got a new Hot Wheels track. Hey Timmy, I got a new bobsled track. And now the kids can talk bobsled smack. It's like a winter slip and slide. It's an ice treat you can ride. And if that Olympic-sized effort doesn't slide those kids into the Olympic Games, well, maybe it's them who are just slipping off track. I'm Carl Azuz, and you know who's not slipping off track? The Sidwell Friends School in Washington, D.C. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel. We will be off the air for President's Day on Monday. So have a lovely Valentine's Day, a great President's Day, and we will see you again on Tuesday for more CNN